You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Thursday, October 21st, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Thanks for making Locked On Twins your first listen every day. We are free and available on all platforms. Continuing on with our report cards today, in the rotation, completing the rotation, we did Kenta Maeda last week. We did Jose Barrios, Michael Pineda, Bailey Ober. Now we have Griffin Jacks, Joe Ryan. We did Matt Shoemaker and Jay Happ. If you listened to that, I hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't yet, try to have some fun with it. Looked at some numbers that were just jarring for how poorly they performed in 2021. But a couple rookies here, a lot of rookie performances this year. We saw a lot of rookies, a lot of good performances, some middling performances. I guess a few good performances, I should say. Some middling performances, some up and down performances from rookies, and then some flat out bad performances as well. And we'll look at a couple today in Griffin Jackson, Joe Ryan, and then we will continue on with position players tomorrow. So we're going to start at third base with Josh Donaldson. We'll link him up with Andrelton Simmons. So we'll go third short, and then we'll go Polanco, Sano, and then we'll go across the outfield as well starting next week. So I'm excited. Looking forward to that. You can follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. You can follow the show at Locked On Twins. Let me know if you have any suggestions for me. If anything you hear kind of perks your ears up and you're wondering about something, don't hesitate to reach out. I actually tweeted today my first official off-season blueprint. I guess I should call it like, I don't know. I guess I should call it like a version of a potential off-season the Twins could have. And I filled in a bunch of spots. And we're going to talk about a lot of different scenarios this off-season and what can be done. And we'll probably go over 10 different scenarios that I make. But you can go to twinspayroll.com, twinsdaily.com, John Bonus. I think Matthew Taylor was in on it too this year. You can fill it out for yourself, and it's an interactive Excel sheet, so you can put in the salaries. There's some set salaries for the free agents, or at least what we're projecting the free agents to get. I made the first one today. And what we've learned and what I talked about last week is if the Twins bump their payroll to 135, 140, which is not out of the realm of possibility, I think they're 133 or 135 going into 2020, they're going to be able to do some stuff. They're going to be able to, you know, sign an impact pitcher if they want to. They're going to be able to sign an impact shortstop. John Heyman today projecting the top five shortstops where they'll go. He had Marcus Semien to the Twins in his projections. I'm sure it's just Heyman, you know, throwing it out at this point, but there might be some steam behind that. We know that there's steam behind that, actually, because last offseason the Twins were linked with Semien. They, I think, made an offer to Semien. He was about to sign, and then the Blue Jays swooped in, was my understanding of it, and upped their offer and kind of just blew away the field, and he signed with Toronto. Marcus Semien's a Berkeley area native, but you know, he's not, because you see sometimes with guys that are from California, guys who are from Texas or New York or wherever, they prefer to stay in that area. Zach Wheeler wanted to be out east because his wife or his fiance, I think, was out east, and he wanted to be close to home in Philadelphia. So these guys all have their preferences. Marcus Semien signed with the Blue Jays last offseason in Toronto and ended up playing at the that alternate field because they couldn't play at Toronto. I think it was in Dunedin, and then they played in Buffalo, a bunch of different places. But it seems like he's open to signing in a place like Minnesota. We just have to be conscious of that as Twins fans, and as we analyze what's going to happen this offseason, be conscious that there are guys that just won't come and play in Minnesota. There are guys that just won't come and pitch in Minnesota, especially. You know, so that's important to keep in mind. But Semien, at least it felt like, was definitely open to the idea of coming to the Twins. It was very close last year, from my understanding, and John Heyman projects Marcus Semien to go to the Twins. It's kind of musical chairs with those shortstops, Trevor Story, Corey Seager, Carlos Correa, Marcus Semien. It's a little bit of musical chairs action there. Javier Baez, those are the big five. So we'll see if the Twins go after one of them and how strongly they pursue one of them. And maybe they'll wait for some of them to sign, and then they'll see who falls, and they'll see if they can get whoever was remaining on a more favorable deal. But what I've made clear so far in these offseason episodes is I'd like to see the Twins get aggressive this offseason, get who they want, get who they're targeting, and be aggressive in doing so. And I hope that that's what they do this offseason. But it's interesting to see Marcus Semien projected to the Twins. You look at it like it's very clear at shortstop, and there's those top options, and then there's really not any great middle tier options. Like, you can go to Jonathan VR, but then you get down into Freddie Galvis, you know, back to Andrelton Simmons. It kind of drops off quickly. Chris Taylor is an interesting possibility. We'll talk about him because he can play short, has played short, can play center, can play everywhere. You know, super utility guy. Twins have valued players like that in recent years. So Chris Taylor's kind of in that middle ground, but I think his services will be highly sought after because it is very valuable, and teams are understanding having a utility man like Chris Taylor is very valuable, especially in this age of so many injuries and just so much time missed for stars. To be able to plug in Chris Taylor at any spot is super valuable to a team. And we kind of saw that with Kike Hernandez last year. Talked a lot about Kike for the Twins as utility man, but the thing was, Kike wanted an everyday role, and that could be the case for Taylor too. What if the Twins said, hey, you're our shortstop, you know, you're going to play every single day, and then Polanco can play short and get Taylor off his feet and have him DH or have him play center if you want to keep him in the field. So it gives you options. Nick Gordon can fill in from time to time, I think, at shortstop. It gives you some options there. So Chris Taylor, I think, is definitely in play for the Twins. Makes sense for them this offseason. They're not limited in their search for a shortstop, but it is interesting to see John Heyman link Marcus Semien immediately to the Twins before the season even ends. So we'll keep an eye on that very, very closely this offseason. When we come back, report cards for Griffin Jackson, Joe Ryan, couple rookies. Really exciting debut for Joe Ryan. And then there were some really encouraging signs that we saw from Griffin Jackson for the future. Stay tuned. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. RockAuto.com is a great place to go for engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at RockAuto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, tell them Locked On sent you. Thank you for making Locked On Twins your very first listen. We are free and available on all podcast platforms. Griffin Jacks coming into this year, expectations for 2021, really little to nothing. I don't think I talked about him much at all, but he does have really good minor league numbers. In 2019, AA, AAA, mostly at Pensacola at AA, made 20 starts, over 111 innings, 2.67 ERA. But the reason I wasn't high on him as a prospect, the reason he's not a highly rated prospect, strikeout rate's 18%. You know, the fastball doesn't jump off the page, it's 92. Walk rate, though, is solid, 5.2%. Sleeper prospect, kind of in the same vein as Bailey Ober, because Ober had such good numbers, much better than Jack's. Like, Ober's numbers were ridiculous, 0.69 ERA in 2019 and in over 70 innings for Bailey Ober. So Jack's is not in the same stratosphere, but still very, very good numbers, which makes him a sleeper prospect, because you can see guys like this get kind of swept under the rug because they don't have the stuff, but the numbers are there. And so I think the Twins were quick, and Griffin Jacks, with experience at AAA, you know, he's older for a prospect. Twins kind of turned to him quickly when they looked at their system. Part of that was a lot of their pitching prospects were hurt. Yoan Duran, I think, would have been up if not for the elbow injury. Jordan Balazovic had struggles. So I think they looked at that next tier and included Bailey Ober and included Griffin Jacks and included Charlie Barnes as well on the lower end. But they brought up Jacks. He started 14 games for the Twins, pitched in 18 games, 82 innings. This is the number that just jumps off the page. 23 home runs allowed in 82 innings. I believe that was a Twins rookie record, minimum 70 innings pitched or something like that. 23 homers in 82 innings, 6.37 ERA, 33% worse than league average. Strikeout rate still at 18%. Walk rate was up a little bit from 2019 in the minors at 8%. But here's the thing for Jacks. The numbers were awful. Like, there's no way to sugarcoat these numbers. But when you look deeper, excellent the first time through the order, really falls off the second and third time through the order. And what I noticed mostly about Griffin Jacks is the slider and the spin on his slider, you know, nearly reaching 3,000 RPMs on his slider. So you know he has a really good pitch and a really good weapon against righties. And when he was spotting up his slider, you saw him put together, you know, large performances. I think he had 10 strikeouts against the White Sox in a start. You saw when he had command, especially against right-handers, right-handed hitters, of that slider, he found success this year. And there just wasn't enough of it. And he doesn't have a good third pitch. He doesn't have enough fastball to get through an order a second and a third time effectively at this point. But you take away the slider from it all. This wasn't, to me, an empty 6.37 ERA. And to prove to you that I'm not just drinking the Kool-Aid here on Griffin Jackson, drinking the Kool-Aid on every Twins prospect, which I think sometimes I probably have a, you know, I probably do. Charlie Barnes probably had numbers around this too. And that is empty to me because I don't believe Charlie Barnes can get outs at the major league level efficiently. I think Griffin Jacks can, but I don't think it's as a starter. And I made this very clear. I made this very clear throughout the season. I think Griffin Jacks's future is in the bullpen. And Nick Nelson, in an article a couple weeks ago for TwinsDaily.com, wrote like four developments that would significantly impact the future for the Twins. One of them was that Griffin Jacks becomes a relief ace. I love that because here's what happens. If you move Griffin Jacks to the bullpen, the chances are his 92-93 fastball is going to get up to 94, 95, maybe even 96. We saw him in early innings touch 95. You know, he might get up to 96. And then with that hard-biting slider, you can match him up when you want. You know, when he's at Fenway facing the Red Sox and actually pitched very well to start that game, the difference between that and being a reliever is you have this lineup, this Red Sox lineup, still in the playoffs. They're in a little bit of trouble now against Houston. But with Rafael Devers and with Alex Verdugo and these left-handed hitters that will crush you, Kyle Schwarber, you know, it's hard for someone like Griffin Jacks who doesn't have that third pitch, doesn't really have that weapon to attack lefties to have a good start because it's an alternating lineup. And you saw in that start at Fenway, I think righties were like 0 for 6 to start that game before Hunter Renfroe hit a monster homer, picked up on Jacks, another reason he should be a reliever. But righties were struggling, lefties were hitting him. And I think that's going to be what happens for him because his slider is elite. I think his slider is elite. It has elite spin, at least. And when he's commanding it, I think it's an elite pitch. So I think if you move him to the bullpen, spot him up in the right situation. So if you have two righties and a lefty coming up, maybe towards the bottom of a lineup in the sixth or seventh inning, go to Griffin Jacks. Like, I think he can get you three outs in that spot. And maybe another righty starts the next inning. You keep him in for that righty, and then you go to your lefty if there's a lefty up next on deck. So I think it gives you that opportunity to match him up in favorable situations. And I think the Twins would be able to do that with him. And I just don't think as a starter, you can't do it. You just can't do it. And what's going to happen is you're going to see teams when they see Griffin Jacks starting, they're just going to stack lefties. Or it's going to be a lefty-heavy lineup because they're going to get to him. If they don't get to him the first time, they're going to get to him the second time and the third time. So for him, you know, high end, I think, long relief, two or three innings, but I just don't think his fastball can play up as much in two or three inning stints. I think it'll play up in one inning. You just tell him to rip it for 15 pitches, go fastball, slider, exclusively fastball, slider. I think he can get outs. So the grade here for Griffin Jacks 2021 is a D because the numbers were very bad, but it's not enough because I think there's a future here. I think there's a potential future for Griffin Jacks. And I hope the Twins get this right. And I think they've been quick in the past to move guys to the bullpen. And I've usually agreed, I think, with that. But with Griffin Jacks, I think they should continue to do it. I think they should have a quick hook, move him to the bullpen. Maybe you disagree, and that's fine. I just think the numbers speak for themselves at this point. So drastic, so ridiculous, the difference between the first time through, second time through. You know, righties hit him pretty good, but the on-base percentage is a lot lower. And I think he's going to be able to get righties out regularly. Let's look at Joe Ryan after the break, his debut season, how exciting it was, and give him a grade for his first campaign as a Twin. We're back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to our new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball, football, baseball postseason, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline is where the game starts. Again, brand new interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Whatever sport you're betting on, do it over at BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts. Joe Ryan, expectations. Hard to have any, right, when you're not on the team before the season starts. Joe Ryan was not a Twin, of course, coming into this season. Was traded at the deadline from the Tampa Bay Rays. Him and Drew Strotman came over for Nelson Cruz. Strotman really struggled for St. Paul, but still, I like the stuff there. Big-time fastball coming back from Tommy John. Still have hope that he'll be able to be a factor potentially for the Twins, maybe in a bullpen role. But Ryan, his expectations after the trade, just five solid starts. And Matt Brown and I talked about this. Like, if he gives you five solid starts to finish the year, that'd be awesome. Like, you take that all day long. I think this is an example. So I talked about Griffin Jackson, the Twins putting him in favorable situations. I think the Twins did that with Joe Ryan as well. And I think some of this just played out because the Twins' schedule at this time was weaker, and the Cubs ended up being a lot worse in the second half than projected before the season because they traded Baez and Bryant and Rizzo. So they were a lot worse offensively. But his first four starts, Joe Ryan pitched 22 innings, had a 2.45 ERA. Sometimes you'll see a guy come up, have success. It's a mirage. No. Fielding independent pitching, which basically is what you're, you know, it's what your ERA should be, was 2.49 based on what you can control, walk, strikeouts, home runs. Opponents were hitting 133. Opponents on the season hit 133. No, I'm sorry. This is over that span. Excuse me. Opponents over this, the first four starts for Joe Ryan hit 133 with a 167 on base percentage, a 420 OPS. That's like a pitcher. 420 OPS. His final start did not go well at all. Six earned runs against Detroit, two home runs to Nico Goodrum. I think it did expose a little bit of what could be a problem for Joe Ryan, what was a problem for Bailey Ober, and what's ultimately a problem a little bit for Griffin Jacks other than hanging sliders. If you're going to work at the top of the zone, as Joe Ryan does, as Bailey Ober does, as Griffin Jacks does, if you're going to work at the top of the zone with a fastball that just doesn't have the juice to get as many swings and misses as a 98, 99 mile an hour fastball will at the top of the zone, you're going to get beat for home runs. And once teams start to pick up on your fastball and they start to realize what you're doing, they're going to cover that top half of the zone. They're going to sit fastball and they're going to smack them. And there's going to be starts like this for Ryan and Ober. It's going to be limiting the amount of starts that they have like this. But Nico Goodrum got to Joe Ryan. Same case. Lefties are going to sit fastball up in the zone if he doesn't develop a changeup. And if he doesn't develop his slider. So his secondary stuff is super important. We know that. But could Joe Ryan come back next year with a sharper slider, a much better change? I don't think those are bad pitches. I think they're probably fringe average pitches at this point. But if he comes back with better secondary stuff, I think he's going to be able to combat some of that sitting, some of the fastball sitting that teams, I think, will do to him. And I think will do to Bailey Ober as well. But for the future, there's no question about it. He's a fixture in this rotation in 2022. I think they're going to rely on him. With that being said, I hope he's the number four or number five out of spring training, because I'm hoping that the Twins add depth and quality depth to their starting rotation. They need it. We know they need it badly. So I'm hoping Joe Ryan is the four or the five with Bailey Ober interchangeably. Like, he's the four, Ober's the five, or vice versa. Starting the fourth game of the season, Ober starts the fifth. I think that's a good spot for him. And like I said, there's potential for more from Joe Ryan. I think there's potential with further development of his off-speed stuff. If he can maybe add a tick or two, we've seen Wes Johnson add ticks to pitches. You know, Bailey Ober adding ticks to his fastball, Bailey Ober adding ticks to his slider. Maybe they can do that for Joe Ryan, and with that rising action, make it even more of that wiffle ball effect where it kind of just rises. It's on a ramp, and have it even be tougher of a pitch for hitters. But Joe Ryan gets an A- for the season, and you might be like, what? How can Joe Ryan not get an A? Well, that last start was bad. That was the best offense he faced, too. He faced Cleveland twice and the Cubs twice, and then faced Detroit and got beat around. So there's still question marks. Like, can he beat a good offense with that fastball in the major leagues? We saw in the minors how amazing he was in 2019, leading the minors in strikeout rate. But can he do it against good teams? Can he do it against teams that scout him? And now that he's been seen in the majors, can he come back next year right out of the gate, make that same impact for the Twins, and be a good mid-rotation starter? Remains to be seen, but super hopeful about Joe Ryan. I think the fastball is going to play. I think he's very unique, and I think that that's important. I think his mantra and I think his kind of vibe on the mound and how he seems is also important. I think will help him at the major league level. So, I mean, really excited about Joe Ryan. He gets an A- for the season. Griffin Jacks gets a D. To recap, Kenta Maeda, C-, Jose Barrios, B+, Michael Mineta, B, Matt Shoemaker, F, J-Hap, F, Griffin Jacks, D, and then Joe Ryan, A-. Bailey Ober as well gets an A, so I don't know if I missed him the first time, but those are your grades for the rotation. We will continue on tomorrow with Josh Donaldson and Andrelton Simmons giving out grades for their season. Should be fun. Join me then. Again, follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Thank you so much for making Locked On Twins your first listen. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB. Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Thanks again, and go Twins.